Our main speaker tonight is Bonnie.
Thank you. Okay, hi, I'm Bonnie and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm sure you can all hear me. Yeah? Good. Okay, the reason why I am speaking tonight is because this group has a steering committee. It's run by a steering committee, for those of you who are new or who don't know about the group. So I'm just going to go a little bit into that and then go into my experience, strength, and hope. So it's run by a steering committee, and I've had the honor and privilege to be on that steering committee since 2002, and it is 13 years that I have been sitting on the steering committee. The way you get on the steering committee is that once a year we have an election to vote for the chairperson, and in 2002, I was elected. And it was, God bless you, and it was an honor and a privilege to chair in 2002. And I came in to this group in 1997. And the way I got to the Atlantic group is that I had a friend, his name was Van, he was one of the founders of this group. And I went to another meeting, and that was my home group. And he had said he's going to start this meeting, and I said, good. And I stayed with my home group then for a couple of years, and then I wanted something of which that group was not giving me, and I came here. In 1997, I found my sponsor, Myra, who I prayed with on the phone before, and she has been my sponsor ever since for 18 years. So, after 12 years of being on the steering committee, this is a principled group, and the principle and the traditions are we get to rotate off. And after 12 years, we have 12 steering committee members, and we get to rotate off. Myra has been rotated off, Ava, the lovely Ava, has been rotated off, and I get to rotate off. But I do get to go to the steering committee, but I do not get to vote. And I am allowed to join in the steering committee and attend, and it's an honor and privilege. And it's called a senior board member. I don't like anything that has the word senior in it. I think I look good. But there you have it. Thank you, Nye, for the honor and privilege. I did say there was no red carpet, but okay, it's all right. Alrighty. My sponsee is the timekeeper. She's trying to give me more time, but that won't happen because we live by principles here. Okay, so here we go. So I came in at the age of 27. Do the math. I turned 55 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that's an honor and a privilege unto itself. And I've had no work done yet, so that's an honor and a privilege unto itself. So, okay, so the first thing is that, God, there's so much to say. I came in at the age of 27 by inches and seconds, by inches and seconds. The fact that I got here, God bless you, is God's grace. Now, there were people during the break, I can only get so far, 55, hello. But there was a 42 days, a 66 days, and there's a woman with 2 days up in the balcony. I'm going to really try to speak to you guys. Everybody else, you've heard my story. Get the tape. I don't know. It's okay. You're sitting here. So when I came in here at the age of 27, I did not, first of all, I was a wreck, and I didn't really know it. I did know that I had a problem. So I came in at 27. And for 5 years, I went to meetings, which is a good thing. And I'm not being sarcastic. It's a good thing. I went to meetings. And I did service commitments. And I did fellowship. So I went to meetings, and I did service, and I did fellowship. And I went to meetings, and I did service, and I did fellowship. Come on. And I went to meetings, and I did service, and I did fellowship. Half measures avail us nothing. and I just wanted to kill myself. And I really thought that the answer was, there you go. Thank you, Ava. She's heard the story before. Get a boyfriend. So what I did is don't upstage me. But so what I did is that I got a boyfriend, and we all know how that works, you know. God bless the guy, but half, you know, two halves don't make a whole. And I didn't do the work. I didn't do the work. And I just wanted to die. And so, I sought outside help and this and blah, 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 blah. And one day I was at a gym that I couldn't afford, but I was at the gym because the boys were there. And I opened up a meeting list, and for those of you who are new, or for those of you who are not new, there was a meeting, and I liked it because it was easy to get to, and I could get the train home. I'm a Queens girl. I lived in Queens. I still do. And I said, oh, let me go to that meeting. And in front of the meeting, there's like little symbols and there's little like letters. And I didn't know what those meant. And one of the letters was, two of the letters were BB. And I had no idea what BB stood for. 5 years, did not know what BB stood for. There is a plan. I don't have it. God does. And I went to this meeting. And it was a big book meeting. For those of you who are new, remember I'm speaking to the new person. It's a big book meeting. And I fell in with a group of women. Thank you, God. Because inches and seconds, you'd have another speaker up here. I was out of my mind. And I remember I went to that meeting, and I remember looking over everybody, because always judgmental and, you know, critical. And I looked over everyone, and there was a woman who was very well coiffed. And I thought, oh, good, she could be my sponsor. And I walked over to her, and she said, I haven't done the work, but this other woman has. And so I looked her up and down, and I was like, all right, fine, you know. And she gave me her number, and she said to me, you're an actress, right? So you can read. I was like, yeah. And she said, good. So over the weekend, read the big book. And this is the big book. Read the big book and call me. I'm going to Florida. And, you know, when you come back, we can talk about it. So I opened up the book. And I read maybe 50 pages. And it was really boring. Like, really, like, oh. It was, So what I did is I closed it. And I figured that when she came back, I would do what I always do. I'll talk about myself, which is really, you know, really boring after a while. And she said to me on the phone, did you read it? And I went into my, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said, after you've read the first 164, you know, 63 pages, call me. And she clicked the phone. Oh. Now, one of the themes that you guys don't know is, don't you know who I am? Okay? I have arrived. Don't you know who I am? I mean, there's a lot of that. And to make a long story short, I chased that woman for 2 years because I knew I was dying. Simple. I knew I was dying. I knew it. The gig was up. Let me tell you just quickly about where I came from. So, nice Jewish girl, grew up originally in Elmhurst, but that wasn't good enough for Bon Bon. We had to move to Forest Hills, or as we like to say, Forest Hills. And so we moved to Forest Hills, and my parents sent me to a private school. And everybody lived in Forest Hills. And I swear to you, I never heard the words no, ever growing up. Does that make me an alcoholic? No. Spoiled? Yes. So growing up, you know, I went to private school and I was living in Forest Hills. And honestly, my first drink was at the age of 9. My first resentment was at the age of 3. Didn't know it. But it was at the age of 3. My parents went on a cruise. They didn't take me. And I was too through with my mother, Mickey. M-I-K-K-I, and she is a size 2. Needless to say, she was all over my fourth step. And I was not a size 2. I'm still not a size 2. I will never be a size 2. And if you are a size 2, I already have an issue with you. Where's Lisa? But I love her anyway. So, okay, so My first drink was at the age of 9. I did not know that I was irritable, restless, and discontented. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I just knew that I felt a little different. So growing up, this is a good one. They used to say about me that she was a social butterfly, you know, and that she has charisma. Now, as a child growing up, I don't think a little girl wants to have charisma. You want to be cute. You want to be adorable. I also, I took ballet. I was too heavy. They wouldn't get, you know, I couldn't go on toe, you know. I mean, there was issues. My husband always says, what did you go on, heel? No, all right. And that's a whole nother qualification, but we'll go. Okay. So eventually, when I finally got, you know, so I picked up at the age of 9, and by the age of 13, I was a daily user. And this is about Alcoholics Anonymous. Growing up, my best friends had an interior decorator, they used to call them back then, Seymour. Seymour decorated everybody's house the same way. So when you came into the house, it looked like a tavern, you know, with the beams and the bar. And I knew all the liquors, and I knew all the drinks. And you know what? I thought I was hip, slick, and cool. And my parents allowed me to drink in the house. And that's the deal. I had, listen to that, I had two older brothers, and they enabled me also. And by the age of 17, I remember, or 15, I was already going to clubs. And we're talking in Manhattan. And by the age of 17, I remember my father making me a phony ID. Again, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you my story. And you know what? I was going to clubs. I was having a good time. And, you know, an alcoholic, my father owned a factory down on Mott Street between Houston and Bleecker, and he manufactured ladies' handbags. So when we would get off the bridge, my mother and I, there would be these really disgusting men with raincoats, with the bottles, you know. That was an alcoholic, not a nice Jewish girl from Forest Hills. I had no conception, and I did not know that I had a problem. And if you don't know that you have a problem, well, then, by golly, there is no solution. And in this book, there is a solution. But if you don't know you have a problem, there can't be a solution. And so eventually, I started to have a bit of consequences, and I went to college, and in my junior year of college, I remember a boyfriend broke up with me because he didn't like the way I drank, and I was living in London, and you know what that means. You get a new boyfriend, I mean, you know, hello, and so you move on, and you keep moving on, and you keep moving on, and then when I came back, and I got out of college, you know, I wanted to be this fabulous actress, so my first job was a waitress, and I became best friends with the bartender, and I started to have consequences. Not big ones, but I started to have consequences, and the consequences were, after a year, the jobs started to go, so I got a new job, and another job started to go, and I got a new job. And I just didn't know, you know, my best friend Lulu, she got married. You know, I blacked out her to wedding. That's a nice thing to do. I did make a 9-step eyeball-to-eyeball amends to her. But things started happening like that. And other people started to have lives. And and finally I couldn't go to an audition. I was up all night, needless to say, God knows with what, with who, where, I don't know. And I had somewhere to go, and, you know, I felt like people were laughing at me. I was bloated. My eyes were bloodshot. It was like, wow. And eventually I hooked up with certain people, and it was New Year's Eve. And we were out, and everybody was just, you know, out of their minds, doing a lot of things, and the next morning everyone was going to stop, and I couldn't. And I got to tell you, I was scared. January 1st, 1988. So from January 1st, 1988 to June 24th, 1988, I was living in hell. I knew I had a problem. People were finger-pointing to me, and I didn't know what to do. And eventually, the moment of grace happened. I called my parents. They were going on a cruise. And I said to them, I need your help, and I need money. And, you know, a bit of a drama queen. My father was like, could it wait 2 weeks, Bubby? You know, we'll be back. I said, no, I'm going to be dead in 2 weeks. And then they said, call our friend, our neighbor, Adele. And Adele did not know me. But how God works, her son was in a 12-step program. Got it. And so she said to me, I will meet you at the hospital with a check. Your parents are good for it. And the person that I was living with dropped me off, gave me cash, you know, because you always need to cash at detox. And there I was on my journey. And I was there for 5 days. It was a locked unit. And in the locked unit, they kept saying, you need to go to a meeting, you need to go to a meeting, you need to go to a meeting. And you need to go to a meeting. And so when I came out, I went back to, you know, the apartment that my father had bought for me because, you know, it's the life that I had. And I remember this so vividly, and there are so many things that I don't remember. Inches and seconds, kids, inches and seconds. And he said, Mamita, why don't you sit down? We'll see it back in the day. I think it was a tape or something, or, you know, VSR thing. And I said, no, I think I'm going to make a meeting. And my journey began, and I started to make meetings. And the place that I wanted to go to was a rehab out in Minnesota. They didn't have a bed, so I had to wait 2 weeks, and eventually I got there. And, you know, they said to me after 28 days, oh, in your case, you need a halfway house, honey. I wouldn't go back to New York. And I went to a halfway house, all because my father was paying for this, of which I made 9-step amends, in which I wanted to pay them back. And, of course, my mother didn't, God bless you, didn't accept the money. I returned that favor, and you'll hear that story in a minute. And so I stayed out in Minnesota, and then I came back, and like I said, I had 5 years of untreated alcoholism. I was restless, irritable, and discontented. And I finally found this big book meeting, and for 2 years I followed that woman around, and I had the knowledge of this book. But it's called the language of the heart, not the knowledge of the book. Now, it's good to have, I'm not being facetious, it's good to have knowledge of the book. But it's called the language of the heart. And so when I came here, I was looking for that. And the sponsor that I have, who I love, and she said she's getting the tape, so I better be nice. has that. And I am honest, and it tells me in this book that I must be honest with one person in order to be happy, joyous, and free. Doesn't say 100. It says one. And I follow the directions in this book. And to the best of my ability, I try to live a principled life. I got 12 traditions, and I have 12 steps. And to the best of my ability, I try to live a principled life. And so I came here, and I started the journey again. And I'm going to share about that journey now. Experience, strength, and hope. And so when I got here, I started to do service, and I'm not going to go into a resume of the things that I've done here, blah, 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 blah. You know, I've done service. I still do service. Why? Because it's one of the sides of the triangles. If I don't do service, and trust me, I'm not that altruistic. If I'm not doing service, really, what am I doing? Getting my hair blown out by Pedro? I don't know. I mean, you know. Which I did today anyway, but, you know, I mean... And it says we practice these principles in all of our affairs. Not the ones that I want to, in all of them. And practicing these principles in all of our affairs is not always easy, and it's not something that I always want to do. And when I sponsor women, I take on that responsibility. Not the great I am, it's the book. You want to do the book? Great. You don't want to do the book? Great. It's okay. And I've calmed down, because when I first came here and started sponsoring women, I mean, you know, I needed to get off my high horse. It's the language of the heart. And so on the journey, I also got married. and I am still married, and I will say happily married. For the most part, you know. In 2002, like I said, I chaired this meeting. I think it was like 200 people, not more than that. It was 200. And that was a lot back then. That was a lot. And I lost an election, and I had to live through that and what that felt like, you know. And Myra said to me, wherever you go, you'll bring yourself, you know. So if I wanted to switch to another home group, what was I doing? Just, you know, doing geography. And so... For me, it's God, 27 and a half years. So let me share this one. All righty. So Bob was the chairperson. It was, I think, 2008. And before 2008, things were going nicely. Everything is great. And around, in 99, I got married. And my mother in 97, I came here in 97, my mother had a silent heart attack. They said that she had the onset of dementia. I didn't even know what that meant. I was like, whatever. Yeah, okay. And in 99, I get married. She kind of is kind of weird at the wedding. You know, my best friend Penny is one of my maid of honor. She was like, I don't know, your mother's kind of like odd. I was like, I was getting married, so I was a little like absorbed by that, you know, so I didn't really see. And then in 2001, her Alzheimer's started to, you know, really, her best friend who escaped the Nazis called me up and she said, what are you going to do about your mother? Now, this selfish, self-centered girl who came in here at the age of 27, I wanted her jewelry and the money, but I didn't want any other responsibility. That's what I wanted. And I did work with my sponsor, and I took on that responsibility, and I got power of attorney, and we started to set up, you know, some kind of home care, and I started to become the daughter, because part of my ninth-step amends is one of them was to my dad. My dad died when I had 4 years of sobriety. I was untreated. And I never got the opportunity to do an eyeball-to-eyeball amends to him. So what I did is I wrote a letter, and I read it to his grave, and it was a living amends. And I said I would become the daughter to my mother, I would be the sister to his sons, I would be an aunt to his granddaughter, and so on and so forth. And I took that very seriously. To the best of my ability, I try not to take myself so seriously. Some days are better than others. But I followed those directions, and that's what I did. So when my mother got sick, I had a daughter. And I have to say that my husband and I do not have children. We didn't want children, but I had a daughter, and I took on that responsibility. And really, it was, if anybody asked me would I do it again, I'd do it again in a heartbeat, because it was an honor and a privilege to take care of her. And she got very sick, and eventually I had to place her in a home, you know, down in Florida. And I was, you know, my representation, I told them very honestly, this comes first, so all bets are off. I put my career on hold, and I went back and forth. Did I have resentments? You bet. You bet. But I kept reading them, and I kept doing inventory with my sponsor. I had a home group down in Florida. It was called Morning Medicine at 10 o'clock, you know, and they had people sitting in the front, you know, right over there, and that was their seat, and I loved them, and they helped me, And I reached out, and the phone was my best friend. And eventually, one day I get a call, and I'm thinking it's the call about my mother, but it wasn't. It was the call about my brother. That was life on life's terms. I got sideswiped. And my brother, God rest his soul, his name was Frankie. And making a long story short, he had congestive heart failure due to alcoholism, and he chose to live in a van. And they didn't find him from 4 days to a week. And that's a fact that I live with every day of my life. It's just what it happens. And he, for whatever reason, he didn't want it. And this is a program for people who want it, not who need it. You gotta want it. Because you know what? It's work. I do the work pretty much every day. It's work. Resentments come up, fears come up. What am I going to do about it? Oh, I have 27 and a half years, I'm cured. No, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. And my ego and my pride and my defects will get in the way and will say, you're okay. You're okay. You don't have to call Myra today. Thank you. That's not good. And my husband can attest to that. So, we got sideswiped, and he passed, and then 26 days later, my mother passed, and then 5 months later, my eldest sibling chose to sue me for a very small estate, and he also included his daughter. So it was a wipeout of a whole family. It was a tsunami in a heartbeat. And I have to tell you that this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous saved me, because at that point, I was angry with God. I could not believe that you took my Frankie from me. After all the work that I do in AA and sponsor women and show up, I am a show-up girl. That's what I wanted. I wanted him to be here. Well, you know what? He's not. And I took outside resources, and I worked hard. And I showed up every Tuesday in that seat, every Tuesday, whether I wanted to or not. And Bob asked me to speak. And I remember it was 6 months early, and when my anniversary came around, I said, Myra, please. You know what that answer is. And I got up and I spoke. I don't even know what I said, but, you know, something. And I step two, I was restored to sanity. Thank you, God. I was restored to, otherwise you'd have a different speaker here tonight. And I made a decision that I'm going to continue, whether I like it or not. And I kept doing more inventory. And I was in a lawsuit for 2 years. And I heard a wonderful message in a meeting, because I go to meetings. I think we were in Mexico. And it's, bless them, change me. I love that. I love that. And I still say it about my brother. We do not have a relationship. And I do not have a relationship with my niece. That's the way she wants it. And I pray that one day, if I ever get to see her, my heart will be open, because I love her. See, not everything gets wrapped up in a bow. And so I continue to call Myra on a fifth step, and six and seven, I'm not cured. My defects of character, could list them. And I'm sure some of you could list them too. No, I'm just... So I keep going to God, and I keep asking. Because this is, as we get older in sobriety, I need to keep growing. I can't do what I did yesterday. And the truth is, on the eighth step, I actually have five people that I still owe amends to, and I have been dragging myself. And now we're friends on Facebook, so it's like, oh, God. Don't get me started on Facebook and AA, please. That's a whole nother qualification. The ninth step, I made my amends. I had 140 people on my list. Five of them I still need to do, and especially that one from college I have got to do. My tenth step, I do it. I have to do it. I want to do it. I call Myra. I have to do it. If she's not around, I have closed-mouth friends. The 11th step, sought through prayer and meditation. Oh, my God, that's like air. Air. It's what I breathe, prayer and meditation. Right before I spoke, I called Myra, and right before that, my sponsees, we were in a corner, and they prayed with me. I'm so grateful for them. I'm so grateful they allow me the opportunity to be in their lives. And the gifts that I get in the 12-step work, I mean, you know, one of my sponsees a while back asked me to marry her and her partner. You know, they gave me a son. I call it mine. It's not really mine. I'm hashtag glamour. And the gifts are amazing. All I have to do is show up. So it has been an honor and a privilege to be on the steering committee for 13 years. I want to thank Nye for allowing me to speak tonight. I want to thank everyone for doing service. The two speakers in front of me were amazing and young. And for those of you who are counting days, keep counting. Thank you.